This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, joining Michael Yan, my colleague, who is on the Texas-Mexico border these last days, seeking factual information about the flow of migrants across the border. Michael's been following this story at least since 2021, starting at the Darien Gap, the border between Colombia and Panama, continuing in 2022, but he also traveled to Europe to see the phenomena of the Global South moving across borders into the EU, across the Mediterranean into the EU. We see stories routinely now about people risking the North Sea to cross into England. So this is a global phenomenon, but Michael's concentrating on the part of it where the American border is indeterminative. And Michael has two ways of talking about it. One is visual contact with people crossing the border between Mexico and Texas without documentation and also not being confronted by U.S. authorities. The second way is with the gathering of the migrants who are here who are being cared for, especially those under 18. Michael, a very good evening to you. The fact I have for you since last we talked is that Reuters published a story saying Centerfront, you know them well, the border guards of Panama, you've befriended many of them, they've been extremely helpful and courteous and thorough, what you've seen on the Darien Gap border, Darien province of Panama. The Centerfront is announcing that this is the biggest year ever, in the first half of the year, for migrants, immigrants coming from Colombia into the Darien Gap, a 60-mile triple canopy dangerous passageway, into Panama and from Panama to the Mexican border. And I add, Michael, from the Mexican border to a major American cities. There are 100,000 migrants said to be in the shelters in Manhattan and New York, and the city's government is overwhelmed. You are at the point where these migrants from the Darien Gap cross into Mexico. What have you seen these last days since we talked? You're somewhere on the Texas-Mexico border between McAllen, Texas, and Boca Chica, Texas. Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening from McAllen, Texas. Right. I've been, as you know, on this border quite a lot and down in Darien and Colombia, you know, Panama, Colombia, all over Mexico and Europe, watching this unfold, Japan. Now, you know, things that we that used to sound conspiratorial are pretty obvious, even to the average person at this point who's really not paying attention. They can see their street corners being overwhelmed with people from unknown origin. They see hotels filled up. Here in McAllen, in Brownsville, let's say Brownsville, last night I was in Brownsville again, Texas, right on the border. There's actually a Walmart there, former Walmart, that's just filled with boys. And they're basically kept as prisoners from the age of infants up to the age of at 17. They have to leave the place. And they don't get much sunlight. They're kept inside of there. Anybody in Brownsville can go to that closed down Walmart. If you're listening to this from Brownsville or nearby, just go over there and look, and you'll see all the do not enter signs. You'll see the guards there on their little golf carts with their radios. As soon as you show up, watch what happens. They're going to descend on you. It's like kicking a hornet's nest. They know they're doing dirt. This is human warehousing, and there's also a girls' facility. There's many others. These things are all over the place. It's not just in Brownsville. And interestingly, right now, I'm in a hotel across the hall from me. I've got a private investigator actually interviewing right now one of the key witnesses that used to work in one of these facilities. We spent about 10 hours with him yesterday and went out to some of the facilities. And now we're debriefing him again today in a more legal fashion, you know, doing everything properly so it can be used in court. Interesting, this gentleman used to be an escort. He used to work inside these facilities, but they also use escorts that escort the children from Texas to other parts of the United States, especially New York and Florida, he said. He said he's done hundreds of trips delivering thousands of children. For instance, they would fly from Texas over to places like Jacksonville and Orlando and rent a car. Often if their flights were delayed somewhere, with a layover or whatever, often they had to get hotel rooms with the children with no other escort. So a single escort often, and some of these escorts are 19, 20, 21 years old, that young. are escorting these young children, including teenage girls. So they'd have teenage boys escorting teenage girls, sometimes staying overnight in the same hotel, according to our witness, right? And so this sort of thing is normal business. And he was he talked about delivering children to many affluent homes across Florida, like five children at a time, taking them often when he would deliver. Sometimes the recipients of the children would pick them up at baggage claim at the airports. Other times, when it came time to, ascertaining who was actually picking them up, they were often questionable. Like, is this even the right person picking them up? It could be a man picking up teenage girls or younger. And, sometimes they were drunk. The children didn't want to go. And often the children would cry and complain. They wanted to go back to their home countries, back to their parents. They didn't even know what's going on. And so they're kept in these facilities. They're not as prisoners. They're not allowed to leave. We were told at the Walmart, former Walmart there in Brownsville yesterday, there's a McDonald's nearby. That if the boys are good, the chaperone will take them out to McDonald's and let them go to McDonald's.
Michael, how did they get there? Did they get there? Who's supervising? Who's maintaining those guards and golf carts? Who is that?
Southwest Key Company at that location. So if anybody is listening to this is in Brownsville, just go over there and look, and you'll see the Southwest Key Company, and there's contact information at the front guard shack there. But you can see, look at all the cars in the parking lot. Those cars are not from shoppers, and that parking lot is packed full. And just go look. As soon as you finish listening to this, go look and take photos and put them on social media, and you'll see that it's just massive. What's going on here is a massive human smuggling ring run by the U.S. government. And now they get some amount of money per day to keep the children. We haven't worked that out exactly what the number is, because different parts of the food chain are getting different parts of the money.
Let me give you some numbers from New York that have been published recently. New York City City Hall is estimating $363 per day for a family of four. They're saying that of the 100,000 migrants, all from the border, they believe they're all from the border, bused here by Texas or Florida or other states. They believe that it costs $9.8 million a day for housing, food, and medical care for all 100,000. Those are the numbers in New York City. I imagine they'll be different in Texas, but somebody's footing that bill. And in the case of New York, it's New York City. But the mayor's asking Albany for help, and he's asking Congress and Washington for help. I don't know who's footing the bill in Texas.
Well, we know that's an understatement. There's no way that they're only paying 300 and something a day for a family. That's just not – that doesn't reconcile with any of the other things we're collecting. It's definitely going to be some larger number. But that's what they print to make people feel better, that it's only, $9 or $10 million a day just for that area. But we've got the entire country doing this, not to mention Europe. And Europe is being destroyed. As you know, I spend a lot of time over in Europe. Look, I just got back from Georgia and Armenia looking at similar issues. But the bottom line is these children are being held as prisoners at that Walmart, former Walmart. One journalist yesterday said, a SWAT team should just raid the entire thing and question every one of those children. Where are you from? Ages, names, where are your parents? What country can we call them now? You remember your phone number, email? The children are kept there without communication, and they're not even allowed to get out in the sunlight. This is unbelievable. Now, in the girls' facility, which is not far away, they do have – it looks like a concentration camp. I'll send you some of the drone footage. I did not shoot the drone footage, but it was shot yesterday. And I can send it to you and let you see it. It looks like a little concentration camp for the girls, right? What's the Walmart Center? The former Walmart Center is just a giant building,
Michael,
with no sunlight.
Where are the parents? My memory of how it works at the border is that people were sending their children without accompanying them. The adults wouldn't follow them because the border guards would accept children and reject adults. But that memory is dim, and it was some time ago. Rules have changed. So are these children with their parents to the border, and then they cross by themselves with the presumption that they won't be turned back? Or are these children brought in by coyotes, by smugglers who are paid by the parents? Can you tell?
Well, I'm obviously down on the border a lot, on the Mexican side and the U.S. side. Just a couple of days ago, we made videos of children and adults coming across the border into Border Patrol custody. The local police tried to – local sheriff's office tried to keep us back. They were very aggressive. The Border Patrol, not so much. They allowed us to at least stay back and film. And Catholic Charities is deeply involved. But so the adults are coming in with the children. Some of the – I'm with Ann Vandersteel, actually. She's not here right now. She's out doing interviews. But, you know, she's a parent, and she's looking at this going, wow, some of these children are not with their parents. The body language doesn't match. Others do look like they're with their parents. But, for instance, the group we saw the other day, I'd say 60 or 70 people, more than fit, Ann estimated it was 70% children. I was like maybe 60. It was definitely over 50% children. That was, you know, just basically a bunch of children coming in and being shuttled off. And now what happens? What happens later? DNA testing is not being allowed. These children are just vanishing into the system. They're basically the new product, because as long as you can keep these children in the warehouses, the companies that are doing this are getting paid per day to keep their bodies alive, right? And shuttling them around from here and there. What is happening with this shuttling? Why are they sending them from one facility to the other? For instance, the children talking about how they liked one facility more than the other because they were allowed to get sunshine a couple times a week at this one place, or in some places they could go outside as much as they want. Other places they have to stay inside all the time. They're allowed to ask the guards to the children have to wear sort of like prison uniforms when they're in there, hoodies and that sort of thing. But the children are allowed to ask for movies of the guards, and the guards will buy movies for them using, you know, online. They have a credit card there that the company uses. They're not allowed to watch horror movies, I'm told, but they can basically – and the kids want to watch the movies in their own language, so they only rent them apparently in English. I don't know if that's the truth, but that's what we
were saying. Are there any teachers? Are there any provisions made for teaching or supervising that you can see? I know you're outside, but you've been talking to people who know what's going on inside. Are they ready for school year?
I've been asking that specifically. Like, how are they? I mean, are they just being kept as just little Lord of the Flies going on here? Or what's going on? And by the way, he said there's a lot of violence. At one of the facilities, they closed down. I think it was in Midland, Texas, or in that area. They left when they closed down the facility. There was so much violence there, they left the hospital with a lot of unpaid medical bills from fights and that sort of thing from the children, from the boys. So now, are there teachers? That's a question that I have asked over and over and over, and I don't have a good answer to that, which is kind of strange at this point. I'll get to the bottom of it. Our team will get to the bottom of it, but it's taking time.
And let us leave the unknowns of Brownsville and along the border to a photograph, or it's three photographs that you've made available through your Twitter account. That's @Michael_Yan, @Michael_Yan. It looks like a thermal photograph from overhead, and there are arrayed across a landscape a number of what appear to be humans moving. What am I looking at, Michael?
Oh, that was just a normal crossing at Roma, Texas, of, you know, a bunch of children and adults coming across. And that was a thermal image last week or so. But that's every night. I mean, we're out there with night vision and great binoculars and thermals and that sort of thing, and just seeing them. And we're often talking with them until the Border Patrol and whatnot gets up, and then they separate us off. The government does not want us talking with the aliens. So that's why sometimes I just go to the Mexican side to do it. And, you know, because on the Mexican side, they'll just let you go do whatever you want. But the U.S. side, they try to keep – they don't want this information flowing at all. They try to keep you way separate, which is difficult at times because the aliens cross all over the place. And so often we can intercept them before anybody gets there to get in our way. It's interesting because, you know, a few days ago, one of the deputies here was saying, you know, don't get in the way of them as, you know, if they do their jobs. I'm like, I'm not in their way. You're in my way. Get out of my way. You're in my way. You're impeding me to do my job. I'm on a public road I'm not talking with them. I'm not between the migrants and the aliens and the border patrol. But you're between me and them on a public road, right? They do this all the time. They're clearly part of it. I mean, a lot of the law enforcement are patriots, and they don't want to see this overrun, or they have children at home and they hate what they're seeing, and they really hate it, and they help us and they facilitate. And then there's others who are clearly part of the process, who are clearly and doing everything they can, very aggressive towards us, very, you know, as if we're the enemy of the people. The other night, we were at a Catholic Charities facilities at Anzadulas Park, or however you pronounce that. Everybody down in McAllen knows where I'm talking about. It's a huge Catholic Charities facility there in the park. And the local deputies, local law enforcement, game wardens, and Border Patrol, they must have sent, before the night was out, at least a dozen units to us and not focused on the people that were coming in. I mean, they just come and surround us at times. Like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering us? It's well known who we are. We're live streaming. And yet you're over here hassling us. You know our names. You can see us live streaming right now. And yet you're impeding us doing our jobs while the United States is being invaded. This is a normal thing we see. You know, some of the people that come down here, I want to say clearly, most of the Border Patrol we meet are very professional, and they want this to stop. But many people that come down here see the principal danger is not the cartels, it's our own government that may do something to us, because the behavior can be quite aggressive sometimes. And to the point where I'm wondering if one of these guys is actually going to do violence.
Michael Yon, at Michael Yon. He is in McAllen, Texas. That's along the border with Mexico. From McAllen, you go east to Boca Chica. You go east to Brownsville. You go east to the Gulf of Mexico. The 100,000 in New York, which is growing regularly, came from this part of the Mexico-Texas border. They were bused here. There are more coming, and according to Centerfront in Panama, this is the biggest year yet, so there's no diminution whatsoever to the flow of migrants, and that means the questions that Michael is asking will only get larger and stranger. We're going to turn to what he expects to do next, looking forward to his operation along the U.S. border with Mexico. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.